mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, the inaugural Findlay Food for All campaign launches this month, culminating in early June. It's a collaborative event of the United Way, City Mission, and Chobin Hall to address food insecurity in the community. We'll have details. Also this morning, it's Small Business Week, but sometimes small business owners can't do it alone. Recognizing those who invest in entrepreneurs and take a chance on their dreams. And May is National Historic Preservation Month, a theme being recognized this month at the Hancock Historical Museum. Sarah Foltz will tell us what's happening. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Thursday, May 2nd, 2024. I saw this story on the Newswire, and I thought, this is really, really interesting, the implications here. Former President Donald Trump will be hosting a fundraiser in Cincinnati later this month with Ohio Senator J.D. Vance. The fundraiser will be on May 15th, although the exact location has not yet been made public. To attend the fundraiser, one must contribute $50,000 per person. $50,000 per head fundraiser, reported to be a lunch discussion type of event. But what's really raising eyebrows is the fact that Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are hosting this together. There has been some speculation that the former president is considering J.D. Vance for the role of vice president on the upcoming ticket. And it raises all kinds of interesting possibilities here. First of all, it's kind of interesting that J.D. Vance is on the short list, if indeed that's the case, and it appears to be the case, because he obviously hasn't been in politics that long. But then again, neither is Donald Trump, especially when he got elected the first time. But nonetheless, some have speculated that the former president's advisors would talk him out of J.D. Vance as a potential running mate because it would open up a Senate seat. In the Senate, balance of power in the Senate is very tight, and it would open up a Senate seat in a state that has been historically split. Although it is becoming more and more likely over the years that a Republican would be elected. But how about this scenario? If Bernie Moreno ousts Sherrod Brown for his Senate seat in the coming election, and J.D. Vance resigns from the Senate to run with President Trump, Sherrod Brown then could run for election to J.D. Vance's vacated seat and go back to the Senate, and we would end up in the state of Ohio pretty much where we were with respect to representation in the Senate. There's just all kinds of interesting possibilities to this, but I guess, you know, it's all speculation at this point. The fundraiser will be on May 15th in Cincinnati, but $50K a head. Wow. Let's see. Some of the other most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Thursday morning started. I saw this and I thought, man, why did not someone tell me this earlier? 55% of Americans in a new poll say how a home smells is more important than how it looks. 55% say how a home smells is more important than how it looks. 40% regard making their home smell good as the cherry on top when it comes to their cleaning routine. 37% of people would love to hear someone tell them that their home has a good vibe. 52% appreciate being told that their house looks clean. Popular home signature scents include fresh flowers, strawberries and bananas, after the rain, that smell after the rain, and fresh bread baking. It's a very popular smell. So make your home smell good. That is more important to a majority of Americans than how it looks. So instead of dusting and running the vacuum, I can just plug in an air freshener. What is? Why did? Why didn't somebody tell me about this much earlier? I could have saved myself countless hours of housework there. Somebody would have just told me that earlier. I saw this kind of interesting. Have you ever messaged someone at work, either through text message or one of those messaging apps like Slack, Microsoft Teams, whatever it might happen to be? You have those messaging apps where you can message other people at work. Well, be careful how you begin a conversation when you message someone. According to a new article in the Wall Street Journal, the common way of getting someone's attention via messaging, whether it's text messaging or Slack or whatever, if you just send out a message that says, hey, to somebody, hey, Bob, and wait for Bob's reply, you are probably adding some stress to their life without really realizing it. This is according to the Wall Street Journal. The folksy-seeming hey is a common conversation starter, but the effect is that it makes people nervous because they think that there is bad news. They're waiting for what's coming next, and they assume that it is going to be bad news. While the quick drop salutation is often innocuous, it can leave recipients fearing the worst. Or it can feel like a trap, a friendly tone masking something else being added to your already lengthy to-do list. So be mindful of that when you send out a message to start a conversation with a coworker. Hey, Bob! most people look at that and say, nothing good is coming next. I just thought that was kind of interesting. Brian Robinson is a psychotherapist and author who literally wrote the book on hybrid work, says those three little letters can actually trip one of humans' most primitive instincts, the fight or flight response. The brain wants to know what's going to happen next, or the mind immediately goes to, uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. So something to keep in mind when you're communicating. You want better communications with your coworkers is what I'm talking about here. And a couple of other items here. Among the first things you need to know this morning, I was shocked by this survey. 2,000 Americans were asked what a 401k is. You know what a 401k is, right? Well, I shouldn't assume that. 43% in the survey did not know what a 401k was, could not define a 401k. 25% postpone financial tasks due to stress. Gen Zers, the most likely to do this. Boomers, the least likely. 16% in the survey feel their financial health is poor and cannot get any worse. I'm here to tell you, it can always get worse. I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news. It can always get worse, especially if you are one of the 1 in 4 who routinely postpone financial tasks. Dr. Erica Rasher of Beyond Finance commissioned the survey, said, unfortunately, avoiding looking at your finances and making healthy changes is incredibly common. Some people tend to neglect taking stock of their financial situation, while others become nervously consumed by it. So taking the time to learn and put into practice better money habits, paying attention, making spending adjustments can all alleviate that stress. I was just shocked. 43%, nearly half Americans did not know what a 401k was. It's crazy. And maybe that leads to this, a story that I saw on the Business Wire this morning. Over 100,000 Americans over the age of 60 are computer money scam victims. This is according to a new report from the FBI showing that the average person lost nearly $34,000 in these scams for a total of more than $3.4 billion lost in 2023. That is an increase of 11% year over year. So this is an increasing problem. The FBI is urging financial institutions to focus more on protecting the elderly. They say that banks and credit unions and the like can do a better job of protecting older customers, but I think for all of us, it probably just sends a reminder, serves as a reminder to check on our elderly parents, loved ones, neighbors, you know, people that we care about, that kind of thing. Just make sure that they're doing okay financially and nobody's taking advantage of them, because more and more seniors are being taken advantage of financially, according to this report, the FBI. Kind of interesting stuff there. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Thursday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Partly to mostly sunny today, a high around 80. Becoming cloudy tonight, a low around 60. Findlay City Schools Athletic Director Nate Wyrow has been named the 2024 Athletic Director of the Year by the Ohio Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Certainly to be recognized by your peers is such an incredible honor, as I'm blessed to work for an amazing community in Findlay. Having the opportunity to serve the Findlay community and our students each day is what is the most rewarding.
Findlay High School Principal Meg Simon says the Athletic Director of the Year award is a testament to Wyrow's unwavering commitment to their student athletes and his values of integrity and sportsmanship. Get more of our conversation with Nate about the award in this story on our website. Hancock Public Health has been awarded a Drive to Succeed grant from the Ohio Department of Traffic Safety. The grant aims to expand access to teen driver training to low-income populations by providing funding for localized scholarship programs. So if you know a teenager who's getting ready to drive, the program could allow them to take driver's ed classes for free. The program will be accepting applications while spots remain open. Get more details in the story on our website. The group Citizens Not Politicians is gathering signatures for a petition to end gerrymandering in Ohio.
They say proper representation in government is important to maintain a stable democracy.
People go to vote and they don't think that their vote matters anymore. And one of the reasons they don't see changes happening is because of the gerrymander. Because it's very difficult to vote out a politician once they've gerrymandered themselves into power.
The petition currently has more than 400,000 signatures, but will need 700,000 before it can get on the November ballot.
WTOL 11's Jeff Smith reporting. The Friends of the Findlay-Hancock County Public Library will be holding a book sale at the library over the next 3 days. The Friends of the Findlay-Hancock County Public Library are volunteers who raise funds for the library mainly through sales of donated books and other materials. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
So now our cover story this morning, the inaugural Findlay Food for All campaign has launched this month. It culminates in early June. It is a collaborative event of the United Way, City Mission, and Chopin Hall to address food insecurity in the community. We are joined this morning by Ron Rooker, Kelly McClurkin, and Sharon Wise. And first of all, Ron, I want to start with you. Chopin Hall really kind of got the ball rolling on this, I understand. Is that right?
Yes, we did. We were looking at, what can we do? And we realized, or we knew, that, you know, we have Chopin Hall, we have City Mission, and we have United Way out there all trying to address the food insecurity in our community. Mm-hmm. So we thought, let's join forces. And so that's what the Findlay Food for All event, that's how that was born. And then we looked at inventory or donations are lower during the late spring, early summer. Mm-hmm. So based on that, that's why we thought, let's do a May June event. Mm-hmm. And we thought, well, let's have, you know, some fun. Let's do, you know, some competition with doing a canned food drive, collecting and mm-hmm. organizations competing.
Yeah.
And then let's go a step farther and let's do a canstruction. So where they can, like, we can have some fun and some competition.
Okay.
So That
healthy competition is never a bad thing.
That's right. That's right.
It's interesting you mention that this is the time of year when donations typically fall off. We think of, you know, the holiday season is a big time, and it's right about now that those you those supplies start to get exhausted. Is that right?
That's right. The need is constant, or actually the need is increasing right now. So, like I say, the need is still there.
Yeah.
We have a lot of hungry people in our community.
That's an interesting fact, too, that probably people don't think about, but when you do think about it, it's understandable that the need is actually greater right now.
Yes, correct.
And explain why that is.
Rising food prices, even though we have seen that the food prices, I think, have leveled off because there were some huge jumps.
Right, right. We were talking about
that at one point.
Yeah.
And but we are seeing at Chopin Hall, we're seeing a 25% increase in family visits each year over the past 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
So I think there are some individuals. There's a lot of individuals that are needing services and needing help in our community, including food.
Yeah.
So,
Kelly, let me bring you into the conversation here, because obviously this is an ongoing initiative as of the United Way, as Ron alluded to. And again, you also have this time of year kids getting out of school, and you know you've got all of these other things going on, so that plays a part of it as well. Explain how this works.
Yes, so our partnership, the United Way, Chopin Hall, and City Mission, we are rallying local businesses, any size, large or small, to combat food insecurity with a friendly competition.
Okay.
Friendly competition.
Well, it remains to be seen just how friendly it is, but the idea is
you know, some of us are more competitive than others. But we're really asking businesses to join hands with us and show their commitment to their corporate social responsibility by getting involved in helping alleviate hunger in our community. They can do that a couple of ways. So they can sign up starting now, honestly, and this is going on through the end of May, June 1st. Mm-hmm. They can sign their business up to conduct a food drive like Ron was talking about, collecting cans or non-perishable food. They can have little healthy competitions between departments to, you know, build that.
Anything that will build donations.
Yes, build donations, right. Exactly. So that's one thing. And I'll let Sharon talk. City Mission has a way of collecting and making it easy for the organizations to do that.
Okay.
Then the second caveat to this is you can also participate in the construction sculpture event, which using those cans collected, or if it's a larger organization that wants to purchase cans, you know, they can do it either way, build an imaginative structure out of those cans. We're hoping to have some celebrity community judges coming around to the organizations that's built on site at their organizations, and they'll be judged with a winner end of May, beginning of June. But either way, every can collected counts towards making that meaningful impact to the community, and this is an actual tangible, you know, way that you can make a difference.
Yeah, that's another thing is that I think people really like the idea of that they are making
see,
that difference.
Yes.
Yeah, you can see
you
it.
Can
it's
see
tangible.
It, you can feel it.
You know,
yes.
You know immediately when you look at it, just how big of a difference you're making in the lives of so many people.
To sign up or to register, you can call United Way and ask for Caleb, or Chopin Hall and ask for Ron. So it's just as easy as that.
And then, as we mentioned, all of this culminates in early June, and that's where City Mission gets involved, right, Sharon?
Yes, it is. So one of the ways, though, we were talking about collecting the food, we are using our Darrow the Barrels. I will drop them off at your business to collect the food, and we will weigh them for the competition to see who can get the most weight also.
Okay.
So, but the culminating event is on June 8th. It's at our new warehouse at 330 Walnut Street, and we will have what's called a no-meal meal. So you can purchase a ticket for the no-meal meal for the cost of what it would cost to feed your family at a restaurant. It doesn't matter which restaurant you pick or whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But with that ticket, then Bridges of Freedom has offered to paint these beautiful white bowls. They're going to paint them beautiful colors. And you'll get a bowl that is going to be, like I said, decorated by Bridges of Freedom, which is the day services for individuals with developmental disabilities here in town.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll also have some entertainment. Everybody will be there. We'll have the judging, the handed out the awards of who won what for the can construction. And just have a fun day of it at the warehouse on the 30th.
But no meal.
No meal.
But no meal.
No meal. No meal meal.
So symbolically.
The money then goes back into help purchasing more food for with your money.
Yeah. So again, if folks want to sign up, and Kelly, you were mentioning the various ways to sign up and get involved. Mention that again, real quick.
I'll even give you some phone numbers if you'd like. You can call United Way. Mm-hmm. Caleb is heading the Findlay Food for All for us, and that's 419-423-1432. Or you can call Ron here at Chopin Hall mm-hmm. at 419-422-6401.
And is there a goal that you have set for this? I know it sometimes it's kind of tough, you know, that first time because it's a first of its kind, you know, event. But is there a goal that...
We were talking... We would love to, at the end of the day, at the end of the month, collect about 10 pallets worth of food, and that could be 12 to 20,000 pounds. So we're going to go with 15,000 pounds.
Okay,
so.
Just a happy medium there.
So, then in terms of the bowls, couple thousand dollars, $2,500, yeah. $3,000 is kind of the goal we would, but... We would gladly take an individual donation of course, more than that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's no limit. There's no upper limit.
No upper limit.
And how much, I don't mean to put you on the spot here, Sharon, but how long would that last? I mean, how much do you go through, say, in an average month in terms of food?
Of food?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I
can tell you approximately how many meals we serve a day.
There you go.
Okay, so between the guests that stay at the Mission and our community window alone, mm-hmm. we go between 200 and 300 meals a day.
So you do the math.
Let's add to that, Chopin Hall through our mobiles and at the hall. We're providing enough food for 975 meals a day.
Wow. Yes. So just there, we're talking more than 1,000 every single day.
Yes.
Really drives home
the
point.
And the need is there. And like you were saying, the kids are getting out of school.
Right.
The need's going to increase.
Right.
We're seeing more kids coming to our community window with their families. The school lunches, you know, they're going to be out of school. So they're going to be needing more meals a day.
Absolutely. We've got a link up on our webpage for more information about the inaugural Findlay Food for All, a campaign launching this month, as we mentioned, culminating in early June. Go to goodmornings.net for that. And again, Ron Rooker from Chopin Hall, Kelly McClurkin from the United Way, and Sharon Wise from City Mission joining forces for this event. Thanks to all of you for dropping by.
Thank you very much for having us. Thanks, Fred.
Well, all week long, of course, we've been talking about Small Business Week, the purpose of which, of course, is to recognize and honor the entrepreneurs across the U.S. who have played their part in bringing new ideas to life and growing our economy. But did you know this? The vast majority, we're talking 85% of private equity investment goes to small businesses. Small businesses. Emily Schillinger is a Senior Vice President of Public Affairs for the American Investment Council. And Emily, I guess it follows that we should also salute those who invest in these entrepreneurs and take a chance on these new ideas, because where would we be without them?
Exactly. Happy Small Business Week, Chris. We're excited to celebrate. And like you said, the clear majority of private equity goes to small businesses across the country, including in Toledo. So we're excited to talk to you today.
And I was actually really surprised at that number, 85% of private equity investment going to small businesses. Let's step back, first of all, for the benefit of those who may not necessarily be real well-versed in this. What is private equity, and how is it different from other types of investments?
Sure. So there are private equity firms across the country, and there are several in Ohio. And what they do is they partner with local businesses to step in, invest in a business, usually over 5 to 7 years, help the business have access to capital to grow, and then also help the business have access to management expertise and teams of people who are experienced building businesses. They work together as a partnership and help grow businesses really across the country. And like we've just talked about earlier, most of these are small businesses, companies that employ fewer than 500 people.
So how do these small businesses and these small business owners benefit from these types of investments, from private equity investments?
So a lot of small business owners have a great idea and they get it off the ground. They do a good job building their business, but then they reach a point where they need a little bit more help. They need access to capital, more investment dollars to grow the business. And they also need access to people who have more experience making the businesses even bigger. So that's where private equity steps in. So the small business owners get more money basically to help grow their business and also get access to teams of people who are really professional and know how to help create more jobs, how to make the business more efficient.
So think in very basic terms that everybody can understand, think Shark Tank.
Yes. A lot of people think of it that way, and that's sort of what it is.
Yeah. So what are some examples of private equity-backed companies in Ohio, for example, that maybe people would know or would find particularly intriguing?
Sure thing. So they're actually, okay, so if you're looking at Ohio, you've got 11,000 people whose jobs are directly backed by private equity, and 2,000 jobs are directly backed by small business companies, and that's just in the Toledo area alone. Some of the local companies you may or may not have heard of are like Dedicated School Staffing. What they do is they help make sure that you've got substitute teachers there and available to go in and help your kids' schools. Tronair, which is in Swanton, Ohio, it manufactures aircraft components and ground staff equipment. You've also got a company called Robox, which is cool. Robex, a developer of industrial robots designed for the manufacturing industry. So private equity really invests in every part of the economy. It's very cutting-edge investment, and it's also a lot of retail investment and a lot of the fast food places that you enjoy every day.
We, you know, one of the things in hearing you talk about some of those examples that I think is interesting about this is it's not always investment in companies that are out there in the public eye. Some of these companies may only be real well known in a very niche part of the larger economy, but are very important within that segment and are worthy of investment as well. So it doesn't have to be something that is out there that everybody immediately knows and recognizes.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, if you look at it from the larger companies, you know, private equity helps step in and save Hilton Hotels back during the financial crisis, which is in almost every community across the country.
Sure.
But then you've also got these really small businesses in Ohio and in your community that private equity has really helped to grow.
Yeah. So by extension, let me throw this out to you. What would you like to see from a regulatory and legislative standpoint that can help facilitate more of these private equity investments in Ohio and frankly nationwide?
Sure. So I think at the AIC, our job is to help make sure that more legislators and regulators really understand private equity's role in local communities. So we would encourage them to recognize that private equity is playing an essential role in supporting jobs and supporting small businesses, and just don't take any action that will impede that investment or make it harder for the industry to invest in Ohio and other states.
Is there any particular area that you are particularly concerned about right now where that is a threat?
Well, in Washington, there's always something. But I think
fair enough.
So, gotta keep your eyes peeled. But I think that basically it's just, you know, encouraging legislators to really respect and appreciate private investment and to support it.
Again, Emily Schillinger is Senior Vice President of Public Affairs for the American Investment Council, talking about the way they support small businesses, even though maybe we don't think about that. That's not the first thing we think about when we think of private equity investment. Where do we get more information, Emily?
Sure. So we have a ton of information up on our website. It's investmentcouncil.org. So we would love for your listeners to visit our website and learn more.
Let me also real quickly ask you this. If, you know, there is an entrepreneur, a small business owner who's saying to themselves, this is exactly the kind of investment that I need to take my business to the next level, how do they find those investors who are willing to partner with them to do that?
Well, we have all of the members of our association listed on our website, so they can take a look at that member list. That might have some good ideas about larger private equity firms. But there's also private equity firms in every state across the country, and there definitely are some great ones in Ohio. So I would look around your local community and talk to some different private equity firms to see how we can help.
Emily Schillinger, again, Senior Vice President of Public Affairs for the American Investment Council, with us this morning. Emily, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Chris. Have a good day.
You're listening to Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
Police in Marysville, Ohio, which is near Columbus, northwest of Columbus. Police in Marysville trying to figure out who owns a bag of cash that was found hidden at the Avalon Theater over the weekend. Apparently, an employee stumbled upon the stash of cash on Saturday morning. Interestingly, the day after a hypnosis show was held the night before at the Avalon. Apparently, the employee says he noticed someone acting suspicious at some point during the course of the show, either before, after, or during the show, but didn't think a whole lot about it. The employee says he noticed someone acting suspicious, but didn't report it, apparently. The next morning, they stumbled upon this bag of cash. Police did not say how much cash there was, but the word is it's tens of thousands of dollars. I'm wondering what did that hypnotist do? That's, I don't know who it belongs to. Stay tuned. Weird story. Let's see here. Way out in California, According to the Yolo County Sheriff's Office, they made a very interesting traffic stop and drug seizure earlier this week. Deputies were patrolling when they spotted a black Mazda that they suspected was stolen. After stopping the driver, officials reportedly discovered 70 grams of meth, hundreds of counterfeit pills, and goats and chickens in the car. Controlled substances and farm animals in the vehicle. And yes, the vehicle was in fact stolen. The animals are now safe with animal services. The driver, who is not from California but from Seattle, has been placed under arrest. No word on why he had the drugs and the barnyard animals, but somebody was having a party. Let's see here. You remember yesterday we had an unusual theft from Seattle. What was it, 100 pounds of smoked salmon? Thieves broke into a fish market, stole cash and 100 pounds of smoked salmon. Not to be outdone, a man in Grand Island, Nebraska is under arrest and accused of stealing cash and a pie from a local restaurant. Michael Markinton was arrested yesterday afternoon for the theft. He is accused of taking nearly $180 in cash and a coconut cream pie from the Shady Bend Cafe on Highway 30. $180 in cash and a coconut cream pie. Police say they found brass knuckles and a steak knife without a handle on his person during his arrest. But he had to cut the pie, so that would explain the knife. $180 in a coconut cream pie. Give me all the cash in the register. Oh, and give me one of those coconut cream pies, too. Those are yummy. Let's see. Elsewhere in the broken news, a lawyer in Colorado, you might have heard about this story. The lawyer in Colorado that has been suspended from the bar and fired from his law firm after using ChatGPT to file a motion in court. Unfortunately, the artificial intelligence chatbot cited fake cases in the motion. Zachariah Crabill said he used ChatGPT because he was overwhelmed with his caseload. However, he is not being deterred from this is what makes the story. Well, it made me chuckle in the story. Apparently, even though he did not check the chatbot's work and went ahead and filed the motion and even went so far as to try to blame a legal intern for the mistakes when a judge called him on it. So anyway, he has been suspended from the bar and fired from his law firm. But instead of being deterred from using artificial intelligence to file motions, he's doubling down. Mr. Crabill has set up his own law firm, which proudly utilizes AI. He's calling it Available Legal Solutions. AI in available is capitalized. Available Legal Solutions. I don't know how he's going to practice law since he's been suspended from the bar, but I guess it's just a temporary suspension. When he gets his license back, he's opening his own law firm, doubling down on the AI because it's worked so far for him so well. A man is facing charges after allegedly providing his daughter with marijuana and vape products to sell at school. I don't know where this is. Juan Ortiz's daughter led police to her supplier after being caught with the items in class. The girl reportedly said her father encouraged her to sell the illicit products to classmates. Mr. Ortiz is facing charges relating to providing drugs to a minor and child endangerment, and he is out of the running for Father of the Year. Man. Here, honey, just take these and sell them to your kids at school. It's a very unusual fundraiser there. Not going to be permitted. And finally, from the broken news file this morning, from the international file, tourists on a South African safari got a little too up close and personal with nature when a pair of lions jumped on top of their truck and proceeded to do what lions do when they are in a romantic mood, let's say. I mean, we've had stories, there have been stories in the news of wild animals attacking safari vehicles and everything. It wasn't quite this story. The lions jumped on top of the truck and proceeded to Photos obtained by TMZ show the male lion and the female lion getting it on as tourists gawk and capture the action on their cell phones. I gotta get a video of this! Apparently, the male lion did not take too long, after which the female was seen just resting on her side. So, not all that different from the human world, as it turns out. There you go! Today's Broken News Report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines, because you can't make this stuff up. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
This is Ed Glantz with OSU Extension. It's planting season. Drivers will be sharing roads with tractors and farm machinery. Be alert for slow-moving vehicles, especially on roads with limited visibility. Watch out for equipment pulling in and out of fields. Drivers and farmers, let's work together this spring to keep our roads safe and accident-free.
This message from WFIN and 95.5 FM.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. What toppings do you put on your salad? The folks at Bright Farms commissioned a survey of 2,000 adults, and the most popular topping on salads, 42% of Americans say cheese and put cheese on top of their salads. 37% add tomatoes. 30% sprinkle bacon on top of their salads. And that's when it starts to get a little weird after that. Some of the more unusual salad toppings that people cited in the survey: banana, peanut butter? I like peanut butter, but on a salad? And popcorn. Again, I like popcorn, but on a salad? I don't know. The top salad dressings: ranch, Italian, and Caesar, in that order. But this is where it gets serious. Unfortunately, not everyone gets to their greens in time. 55% in the survey admitted to having lettuce turn soggy. And when that happens, end up choosing less healthy food as a result. And 60% in the survey admit that they have forgotten when they have lettuce in the fridge. And that leads to this. Researchers at McMaster University have come up with new packaging that could give consumers better information about food spoilage than just a printed expiration date on the package the way it's done now. The way this would work is that the packaging would offer, it says here, visible cues when the food spoils. It would be able to sense when this food is spoiling, and the packaging would change color, so you'd know when it was no longer safe to eat. They say the expiration dates that is printed on packaging now are actually kind of arbitrary, and many times they tend to play it safe, putting an expiration date on a food that is a few days before it could reasonably be expected to spoil, which means that as a result, many people are tossing out food that is perfectly fine, leading to food waste and also a greater cost for consumers, because you're buying foods that you end up throwing away when you don't really have to. The researchers argue this is much more effective packaging, but of course it would also be more expensive, this packaging, and that cost likely would be passed on to the consumer, making the food more expensive to begin with. But they insist that it is still, in the long run, would be cheaper because we'd be throwing out less food that is perfectly safe. Still remains to be seen whether food manufacturers would be interested in this new smart packaging. Well, did you know that May is National Historic Preservation Month? And that is a theme that is being recognized today at the Hancock Historical Museum with this month's Brown Bag Lunch Lecture. Sarah Foltz is here to tell us what's happening. Sarah, thanks for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Good morning.
So, National Historic Preservation Month. Tell us, first of all, let's talk a little bit about that in particular and why that is so significant.
Yeah, obviously that is something near and dear to our hearts at the Hancock Historical Museum. And that was one of the reasons behind picking this theme. And our speaker today for our Brown Bag Lecture, Matt Weiderhold, he's the executive director of Heritage Ohio. He's talking about the emotional perspective behind historic preservation. Mm-hmm. And I'm so excited for this presentation. I think that it's so easy to think about historic preservation as just looking at downtown mm-hmm. buildings, old buildings, but it really goes so much wider than that. And it can be so much more than structures. It can be talking about the preservation of stories, of the treasures even that we have. We have over, if you believe it or not, 100,000 artifacts and collections that we're preserving actively in addition to structures. So mm-hmm. it's just something that this is a month to be able to think about what is meaningful, what had significance to either a person or an event mm-hmm. or the overall story for our community.
It's always a challenge because you can't save everything. Again, whether you're talking about buildings or articles, you know, artifacts, you can't save everything. So and we find that when we go into our spring cleaning, you know, we'll come across things that we want to save, that there is some sort of emotional tie to, but you can't save everything. So that's always a balancing act, trying to figure out what is best to save.
That's so true. Yeah. And we think about that really in depth in all aspects. So, for example, it is really healthy sometimes. We go through our closets spring cleaning. Mm-hmm. We like to purge a lot of things. And we're so grateful for the number of community members that think of us when they are going through their things. Yeah. But we do have to have a process for that because, you know, history is not limited. Everything starting from a minute ago when we started talking is now history, but our space is limited.
Right.
So we work and think often of how can we continue to preserve everything in the best way possible.
And that is true whether we're talking about the space that you have for your archives, the amount of space we have for, you know, progress and development and expansion and, you know, all of this, you know, it all is a big balancing act. And I know it's something that we certainly struggle with it locally, but you see in recent years, it seems, much more attention being focused on this and people being more cognizant of the need to preserve some of these historical things.
Yes, I completely agree. And I'm so grateful for that. And we just keep educating, you know, once it's gone, right?
Yeah.
So to be able to really think about how did this impact our community story? How did this impact, you know, our landscape today? And you're right, not everything can be saved, but there are so many resources, whether that's at the state or beyond. So it's really something that if more community members can think of, okay, maybe there's some resources because maybe it's lack of funding, maybe it's mm-hmm. lack of ability or knowledge of how to preserve or reuse a structure. Mm-hmm. That is something that we want to keep having those conversations.
Or finding ways to, if you can't save the entirety of a building, for example, finding ways to save parts of it.
Exactly.
Or, you know, those things that are significant within it. So, yeah.
Matt's talk today at noon is perfect because he is I've had the opportunity to meet him before, and he is just incredible. He is on his 10th historic home that he's restoring right now, mm-hmm. and he just has a wealth of knowledge of what those resources look like or how can we reuse or how is the best way to preserve.
It's also exciting to see that happen when it does happen and see those things to come to fruition when you merge the modern and the historic. So
yes,
I agree. That is at noon today, correct?
Yep, that is at noon and no registration required. Bring a lunch, spend your hour lunch break learning, getting enlightened.
Yeah.
And it is just regular admission cost, or if you're a member of the museum, no cost.
Okay. So the Brown Bag Lunch Lecture Series happening today. Later this month, the other big thing going on in the month of May, you have a classic movie night coming up here in just a couple of weeks.
Yeah, our next classic movie night is featuring Laura, 1944 film. That is on May 17th. That's a Friday night at 7 o'clock, completely free to attend.
And so you can provide the popcorn. So.
Yes, refreshments and BYOB. Feel free.
Good stuff. What else is going on the Historical Museum? I know you were already making plans for some stuff later on when we get to the summer months.
Yeah, it has. Our warm weather months are already in full swing. We are filling campus. Our school museum tours are in full swing. And we are looking forward to Flag Day, actually. If you do not already know, we are celebrating the 50th anniversary of Findlay being deemed Flag City, USA.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So 50 years of being Flag City, USA. So it's just an important time to celebrate how far we've come over the past 50 years. So we are going to do a family-friendly event. Mark your calendars for June 9th and keep an eye out on our website for more information to celebrate.
Still fleshing out some of the details, I would imagine, at this
point?
We're
looking forward to campus being open with extra activities.
Okay.
We're kind of locking in a couple things, so keep your ears open.
Very good. Well, you talk about something that the community has really embraced, being named Flag City, USA.
Right.
So, I mean, you look around, it's everywhere.
Yes. And it is just something that in June, around Flag Day, technically our anniversary of Flag City USA is May 7th, but mm-hmm. we utilize June as who doesn't like another occasion to be able to celebrate our community?
Especially in the month of June. I mean,
right.
It would be perfect. So we'll look forward to that, and I'm sure we get a little bit closer. We'll get many more details on that. In the meantime, if folks want more information about the stuff that's going on this month or anything with a museum, it's all online, right?
Yep, HancockHistoricalMuseum.org.
And anytime is a great time to join as well. We talk about like the Brown Bag Lunch Lecture is free for museum members. You can join at any time.
Yes, thank you. And all of that information is also available online. So our members are really what make it happen. You can have a membership, an annual membership, for as low as $50 a year. Comes with awesome perks, and then it really does benefit our operations so we can keep doing these programs.
Also, reciprocating benefits as well at other museums.
Yes, that is something that went into effect last year, and you get up to free admission at so many other institutions. And it's not just historical museums. It could be botanical gardens, science centers, children's museums. So that's something that we're really proud to be a part of.
Okay. Again, we've got the link up at our webpage to the Hancock Historical Museum's website at goodmornings.net. Sarah Foltz, the Hancock Historical Museum, with us this morning, May being National Historic Preservation Month. Sarah, thanks very much.
Thanks, Chris.
And with that, we put the wraps on another edition of the podcast. Want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. And remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. That, of course, goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow to wrap up the week, each year some 40 million Americans move into a new home. And anytime 40 million people do anything, there will be those who look to make a quick buck. We'll tell you how to protect yourself from moving scams. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. Catch you back here tomorrow.